exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
People get shot during the day?
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was flat broke, man, I couldn't picture this. If you don't know, now you know. This is Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? Antlion Audio, and soon to be Oblivion Comics and Coffee. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. It's official. We've tied the knot with Oblivion Comics and Coffee. More details coming soon. But enough of that. We have a great show, and we don't have enough time. We don't have nearly enough time. We're scheduled for an hour. I don't know how we're going to do this, so let's just cut through the intros. Aaron Carter, my co-host, how you doing, my friend?
I am well, quite well.
Are you nervous?
Have I ever been nervous about anything?
Good point. We have a great guest. We've been talking about him for the past couple weeks. He made time out of his busy schedule to be here with us. Without further ado, his name is Mr. Andy Miller. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're doing great. Let's get to the other co-host real quick too. David Webb, as always.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And Jessica, the Maid of Might.
Hello, friends.
And Andrew, thank you so much for your time doing the show with us. Please, for the people uninformed, let everyone know who you are.
Okay, I'm Andy Miller. I do a bunch of things. The more interesting thing probably for this crowd is that I'm a co-owner and chairman of Energy Esports. So we're a esports club that has a pretty awesome Overwatch team with a big star named Seagull. We have a great CSGO team. We had a not-so-good League of Legends team, which we can get into. And we're signing up a couple other folks today, actually. So we'll have a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of streamers, and hopefully some original content folks signed up through the rest of this year. And then for the Sacramento crowd, I'm a co-owner of the Sacramento Kings.
Now, this show, based out of Sacramento, California, proudly, I might add, we love it. We are Sacramento's number one video game podcast, so it's only appropriate that we finally were introduced. So how did you get involved with the investors group for Sacramento? What part did you play with that? Because we followed that very closely. Like, that was a big deal for a few years. In fact, little known fact, okay, during a part of the petition, there was people out there trying to stop the arena, and they were crashing all the grocery stores, and they were telling people to sign this petition to not, because the arena was going to do all this bad stuff to the environment.
Right.
It was crazy. I was the guy who snuck his cell phone and recorded them, like, telling straight up lies, and it got played over all the news stations.
Nice.
That was my little, I remember that.
My 15 seconds.
He's still hunted to this day by those people.
Yeah. And they had the clever name of Stop, right?
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And they ended up being funded by some guys in Seattle, I think.
Yeah, the guys who we were fighting with to keep the stadium and the soap opera that was the effort to buy the Kings. Yeah,
Man. I was there when it was supposedly the last night. Tears streaming down my face thinking, and we all stayed long after, at least an hour after the final buzzer, just cheering "Here we stay," and it was an emotional time for the city. But you were part of the ownership team that helped save the team. What made you feel so passionate about the Kings? Like, were you a Kings fan before?
No, so I'm from Boston. I moved out here. I started a company that Apple bought in 2009, 2010, and part of the deal was I moved out here to the West Coast. And huge sports fan, anything with gaming, sports, and all of a sudden, I got a bunch of money, and I've been passionate about baseball and basketball. So I bought a minor league baseball team in Modesto, not too far from where you are now. So I'm a co-owner of the Modesto Nuts, which is the Colorado Rockies single A team, which I love, and it's a good time. But minor league baseball, you don't deal with anything between the white lines. It's more like the movie theater business. You deal with concessions and tickets and advertising, but nothing with the players. And I really wanted to get involved with the players. So I had a business relationship with Mark Masteroff, who is definitely one of the, you know, front guys in the deal. And he was like, you know, I think something's going to happen with Sacramento. Do you want to get involved? And I had some friends with the mayor, Mayor Johnson. And so I was one of the early ones in the group and just trying to get more money and more people involved and stuck it out through the whole process.
Yeah, and you were saying, you know, other members of that group, Shaquille O'Neal ended up joining, and he's also part now of Energy Esports.
And so is Mark. So
And Mark Masteroff, and then Alex Rodriguez, is that correct?
And Jimmy Rollins.
Wow, yeah. This is an eclectic group of people. Like, is there another like esports ownership team this stacked?
I don't think so. Mark's great. He's kind of the silent partner, and he's like, you know, the rich daddy. So he's he's just an amazing business guy. And then it was just the two of us and a guy named Gerard Kelly, who's kind of our gaming guy, and he's my co-founder. And he and I really run the business day to day. And Shaquille started to get involved because of Turner was doing kind of like a co-broadcast of TNT basketball and the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show had like a CSGO tournament. And Shaq started going off on Thorin, and Thorin started going off on him. And I think Shaquille just loved it. And he called me up. He's like, whoa, wait a minute. Energy's your team? I was like, yeah. He's like, I want to get on this thing. You know, how can I do it with you?
That's like, so cool. So Shaq approached you to join in on the esports.
They all did, actually.
Oh, wow.
Alex does business with Mark, and he's a really smart businessman. He's probably the most Shaquille's the most involved, but Alex is the most invested. And Jimmy Rollins is a player. He plays League of Legends, and he's retiring pretty soon, and he thought this was a good place to put his time and money.
So, okay, let's see where your head's at, because this is crazy. Esports is getting bigger, it's growing, but not many people are taking it seriously. It appears that you guys are taking it seriously. What do you see that the rest of the business world doesn't see?
I think a lot of people are taking it seriously. I just don't know if you can see it yet. So we're so used to there's a million teams and every dude calls himself an esports owner, or you know, if you're a player and you've got like three guys in your neighborhood and then you put up your website and you're, you know, an esports group. There's a lot of energy, no pun intended, around the space because there's just a big audience of millennials who are super hard to reach from a marketing, sponsorship, advertising perspective. It's a very intimate relationship, you know, like part of our thesis on buying the Kings, you know, no offense to Sacramento because they're the best fans, period. I mean, from Boston, and everybody bleeds sports in Boston, but in Sacramento, it's like just as crazy and probably even more knowledgeable. Sacramento's a small market, right?
Yeah.
But in the NBA, up until a few weeks ago when KD moved to the Warriors, you had like the smallest market in the world with two of the biggest stars in the world in Oklahoma City. And that's because of social media, because you can follow Westbrook and what he's wearing and KD on Snapchat. And when I was growing up, you know, being an old guy in my 40s, if you weren't in Boston or New York or Chicago or LA, no one knew who you were. You were toiling in obscurity in the NBA unless you happened to make it to the finals like that, you know, our famous Kings team with Weber. So this is, I think, take it up a notch. Like, it's really intimate. You can obviously watch guys play professionally. Then you can hang out with them during the day, during the night when they stream. You can chat with them. You can play with them. They're almost the same age as most of the fans. It's incredibly accessible. So all that energy and interactivity, I think, has gotten a lot of money, hopefully smart money and interest in the space. The interest in investing is bigger than the interest from sponsors right now. So I think what we're going to see is a big wipeout of a lot of teams, because there'll be teams who have some money and some professional operations that will thrive or at least survive. And then we'll see a culling of the herd of a lot of the other guys. Hopefully not, you know, not the great guys, but they can merge, get together, raise money. But I think it will clear out a lot of the space. So it's because it's very confusing. Like, it's the early days of any industry. There's a lot of people in it, and eventually a lot of them go away, and smarter, more interesting models evolve, and then you have winners in the space. And if you're a sponsor right now, it's like, whoa, what do I'm interested in putting some money here. What a great opportunity. But do I invest on a team, a league, a game, a publisher, a platform? I don't know. And there's so many games and so many teams that they get confused and they stay out.
Do you think, like, a lot of people are going to draw comparisons to, you know, basketball, baseball, football, you know, the other sports and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Do you think there's going to be any like cues taken from those type of things, like get one league to rule them all type of deal, or is it its own market and we're just going
to
see?
Yeah, it's hard. Like, we're trying to bring traditional sports management and ideas, and some of them are good and some of them are just stupid to try and bring here, because in the NBA, Sacramento Kings, we own 1/30 of the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Like, they all work together. There's one basketball league. You can't really, you know, you can go play somewhere else, but it doesn't really compare. And we have a commissioner who works for us. Mm-hmm. Here, I don't own any part of Blizzard or Riot, you know. We just play pleasure. So, yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of things where, like, teams band together, players band together, players and teams get together, you know, leagues form where there's a little more ownership. Like, it's early days, and that's why we're going to see a big culling of the herd, for good or for bad.
So what is exactly the relationship between Sacramento Kings, Golden One Center, and Energy Esports team? Is it like Sacramento's esports team? Like, is it like, you know, we have the Kings, we have the Republic?
I love that. There's no formal relationship except for we have Mark and me and Shaquille. But I spent a lot of time with Chris Granger, our amazing president of the Kings, and we've built. I can't wait for everybody to see it. It's ridiculous. The Golden One Center is ridiculous. It's the most technologically advanced arena in the world. It has the biggest center-hung 4D scoreboard you've ever seen, and it is perfect for holding events. And you know, we would love to get some events going and bring it up there, whether they're a major or a hack, you name it, right? Or even just something that we do to get people interested in the space and introduce it to Sacramento. I think there's a lot of opportunity, but, you know, I'm always more than willing to bring our guys up there to do anything.
I would take a question from chat real quick. Pinoy Boy Toy is asking, are there any plans on hosting tournaments in Sacramento or having events?
We want to. We've been talking to people. There's nothing scheduled yet. The opportunity is real. The appetite is real. The schedules, as you know, is packed. We're announcing more and more. October is incredible as far as we just announced the WWE. We got, obviously, the Kings. We have Maroon 5. We have Paul McCartney. So there's not a lot of dates that are open, but I think we'll figure something out, hopefully by the end of the year or the beginning of next year. We'd really like to.
How are you guys going about broadcasting things? Like, are we just strictly internet, or is any goal in the future to ever hit the TV market?
Well, I think that's pretty interesting also. I'd love your guys' opinion. So you probably watched some of E-League on Turner for the CSGO tournament. Mm-hmm. And it did okay numbers-wise. It did great demographic, like killer. But I think just as many people watched on Twitch as they did on TBS.
I know recently whenever they had the Street Fighter finals on ESPN, I was getting mm-hmm. a lot of tweets like, "Are you watching it? Are you gonna watch it? It's big time. It's on sports." It's like, I don't have cable. I can't watch it. It's on Twitch, so that's. I did watch it. I watched it on Twitch, and you know, I saw them ironing out the bugs between, you know, the live studio broadcast, yeah. Twitch and ESPN. It was a lot of balls in the air. I thought it was great, you know, but I think a lot of us have moved on past that, where Twitch is pretty much it.
But wouldn't you want that crossover? Kind of like how we brought in people that didn't normally
play video games. No, I think there's room for both, for sure. Now, when I'm over at my grandpa's house, you know, and he still has cable, and he's watching Comcast Sportsnet, you know, and, you know, that's where the Kings game, and after the Kings, they're showing a, you know, CSGO match, I'll watch it, you know.
Well, you hit the nail on the head as to why now, right? Like, this stuff's been around, like, I spent all day working, I don't think it's a big secret, it's on my Twitter, like, trying to sign a Smash guy. Like, I played Smash, like, 100 years ago, like, why now? Right. And yeah. I think the answer is because of streaming, because the publishers realized that to promote a game, it's not like get a movie star and make something, you know, plush toys or whatever. It's about getting an eSport around the game if it fits. But it's about streaming. Like, people are freaking out about streaming. The traditional Comcast Sports, these other guys, they don't have streaming right now. Yeah. And they spent, all the networks spent tons of money to get live sports because it was the last bastion of getting a live audience, right? You want to get sports because watching taped football sucks, right?
Yeah.
So you have to get live, and the sponsors, advertisers will pay more for live. Great, they got it, but then here's this whole smorgasbord of sports like that you could fill, or games that you could fill so many hours of programming. It's all live, and it doesn't really work on TV necessarily. It could, but streaming is this big unknown, and they know they need to be there because, just like you said, like my kids, I was away for the first, when we were on E-League, when Energy was on, and I asked my kids, I was like, hey, could you make sure you record it's on TBS? And they're like, what's TBS? I'm like, yeah, you know, what channel is it on? I'm like, I don't even know. And they had no idea. Like, yeah. Is that where we watch basketball? I'm like, well, sometimes. You know, it didn't matter. Unless it's on Netflix or Twitch or something, they don't watch it.
Yeah. We got another question from chat, Tone Loke 15. He says...
Tone Loke. How old is this guy?
Oh, wow. Dang.
He's 62.
Yeah, he's 62.
He's still in our chat room, though.
He says, this dance is my recital. No, he said, what do you think the biggest weakness of esports in terms of growth to markets outside of those already interested? So outside of people who are already into esports, what's the big weakness in getting it to go like mainstream?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there's two things. One, I could say, does it really need to go mainstream? Because everybody plays a game now. Like, I got a Little League kid, and if he didn't play Little League Baseball, he's not going to watch Major League Baseball. But, and he's probably not going to watch anyways because I think he's done with it. But he plays Call of Duty and he plays Overwatch, and those are his games, and he wants to watch the professionals play that. So we're like aging into the point where everybody has a game that they play, and everybody could be a potential audience member for watching professionals play in that. But I think the key to just getting it for non-players, which is maybe a better way to look at it, is a game like Overwatch. So we invested hard in Overwatch, and we have Siegel, who's the poster boy for it, and he gets 25,000-30,000 people every morning for 5 hours at a time, 8 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast, if you want to check him out on Twitch, watching him stream. And they watch him stream because the game's kind of understandable. It's really colorful and fast, but you can kind of figure out what's going on. And he sits there and he explains it really calmly, and he's a good dude, and he's interesting to listen to. And that's the key. Like, if we can get a breakout game that is just cool to watch, and it's easy to understand, and I think people will watch together. You know, like, if you look at the tournaments are packed, right?
Yeah.
The Twitch stream is probably 80% dudes, 90% dudes. The tournaments are like 60% guys and 40% girls, because the girls come because that's where the boys are.
Because chicks dig gamers, right? Yeah. Come on, can you name in, Jessica?
Sure.
Terrible.
That wasn't a no.
I was going to ask that because, I mean, we have a nice new stadium that's, you know, coming up in Sacramento. How are we going to get the people out of the homes to watch, that are watching the things?
Yeah, we talked about this a week ago. Aaron and I were talking about esports, and I'm like, yeah, I can't wait, live esports events. And for him, he's like, well, I could just stream it at home. Why would I need to go
to Golden One Center? I mean, besides, it's going to be, you know, I'm going for other events, definitely, hands down. But what's going to get that streamer or that person that just watches Twitch all the time out of their seat and into the seats for the Golden One Stadium?
Same reason you go out, you know, for anything, right? It's being part of a community. Watching live music is way better than watching it on anything else, right?
Dude, you just brought up 2 points in a row that I said to him, so I want to thank you personally.
Great minds.
Please continue, yeah.
Great minds, yeah. That's what it is. So it's a party. It's super fun.
Yeah.
You know? It's a different atmosphere, and people are really into it, and, you know, I think it's something that you just have to experience, and it'll probably be more accessible because it won't be as expensive as going to, you know, a football game or something, and it'll be probably a crowd that's less diverse in age, so that if you want to go and hang out with 18 to 30 year olds, that's probably the place, you know, versus professional sports or older, because the tickets are more expensive.
Yeah. I got one. So we were talking about like that one sport that is relatable, that everyone can jump into and just understand. And that's another conversation Aaron and I have had many times. And the game that we keep landing on is Street Fighter. Street Fighter, anybody could watch Street Fighter and kind of get what's going on. This guy's punching that guy. And yep. and that's personally my favorite esport. Is there any chances of Energy supporting an esports? A Street Fighter player?
Yes, without a doubt. So I hope I have a Smash 4 player to announce tonight or tomorrow.
Okay. So,
I mean, I went to Evo. They sold 12,000 seats in Mandalay Bay for the Evo fighting tournament. And it was incredible. It was like 3 days long and it was incredible. And I think you're right. Like, it's really easy to understand. It was a total party. Everybody got it. There was a lot of personalities. And I like the individual games as well, because then you could really learn about the stories. So maybe circling back, like if you bring in the Olympics as an example, nobody really gives a shit about synchronized swimming. Nobody cares.
Absolutely. No,
they don't. Like, I found myself watching hurdles last night till like 11:30. I was like, man, if it's the Olympics, I wouldn't be watching it. Like, if it came on some random ESPN 7, I would never watch it. But they hooked me in because I learned about, you know, this guy was, you know, came up from abject poverty and he got a scholarship for this and his grandmother this. And I was like, yeah, let's go. I want this guy to win. I was like, shut up. Everybody be quiet. I want to see this guy win. And that's what we need to do with esports. Like, just great stories, especially in the individual games, where once we get past like who won, who lost, and we can get to production and start telling the stories of these guys and how much time they put in and how much they sacrifice and their lives, I think then you'll start to get more of the casual fan.
So I don't know if you could even speculate if you're talking to any Street Fighter V players, but are there some that you're big fans of?
I'm all about Smash 4.
Oh, okay.
That's the big one for us right now, because Street Fighter V is a little more nascent.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I like that. I like that. I had to look that word up real quick.
If you want to get that one, it's a good SAT word. If you want to just, I mean, get into the business of it real quick, like, you have, if you want to break even on every player, which you don't necessarily have to do if you have sponsors across like your whole organization. But if we were to sign a player in Street Fighter or Smash, this player will cost us money to travel. He'd want a salary. And how do you make any of that back? Well, if they stream and they have a big streaming audience, but someone in Street Fighter doesn't yet because it's early, if they win with prize money, but that's it. So you got to kind of juggle all these things across your portfolio of players and teams to make sure that you can get some money back.
One of the big things for esports is the esport houses. Are we going to have like a Sacramento? Is there already one, or are there plans to put the house actually in Sacramento?
That's a good question. So we have two now. We have one in LA, which we there's a lot of them in LA because for League of Legends, at least, the studio that you play every match in is in Santa Monica. We have our CSGO guys are in Vegas. The Overwatch guys are all over the place. I think it's inevitable. Once esports moves to a little bit more geography and based, and I think it will. I know a lot of people don't. And there's a reason why it's great, because it doesn't have a geography. It's boundless. I can have an Energy fan in Boston as well as in Sacramento. But I think most of the professional sports teams will own an esports organization. It just makes sense for them. It's easy. You can fill seats, and they'll have all their players around their stadium, their arena, whether it's a small little one near it or a big one. And I think we'll start to see more geography-based stuff. And so, you know, we'd love to be the team of Sacramento or Northern California or wherever.
So then if you want to see them as, you know, the team for Sacramento, does that mean you want to move towards more organized one governing, you know, esports entity?
I don't think that's possible, just because there's so many different games and we don't own any of them. It's all really up to the publishers. But I think what you'll see is more ownership by professional basketball team, NBA teams, NFL teams, especially people who own arenas. And then the game will change a little bit, because it's scrappy right now. It's tough. Like, it's dirty and scrappy and all night long, and you got to stay on it. And there's all these players and they're all young, and there's no like collective bargaining agreement. hey, okay, well, you signed DeMarcus Cousins for 5 years. Okay, he's going to stay in the Kings that long unless you want to trade him. It's like, no, some dude just showed up with a pile of money, and you know, and now he's going on to some other team, and you know, fuck the contract. So there's a lot to think about.
So how that brings up a good point, because like we on our show past few years, we've dealt with a lot of people. We've had like Hollywood actors, we've had game developers, we've had composers. But some of the hardest people for me personally to have dealt with and get on the show and organize with have been like YouTubers and Twitch streamers. There seems to be like they're kind of a different breed. How is dealing with them in like an esports business sense? Are they pretty compared to basketball, for example, or baseball?
There's no infrastructure there, so there's no like customs, or it's all just weird. It's like, hey, I think we got some guy today that we really like, and I just bugged him until I found him, and I was like, hey, you know, you were hilarious on your stream. He's like, yeah, okay. I was like, hey, do you want to talk tomorrow? I'm like, well, I sleep all day. Maybe, you know, 12 at night when I'm done with my stream, 1 o'clock. Does that work for you? I'm like, it's a good thing I'm on the West Coast. Yeah.
There's a lot less accountability too, I feel.
Well, and the balls on that kid. Because, you know, was there a side of you just like, does this kid know who he's talking to? I can make you.
Maybe like internet culture kind of plays a little bit into it too.
Yeah.
Less social skills required.
Yeah, social skills, exactly. especially with the players, not necessarily the most socially.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, I want to thank you before we move on to the other segments personally for what you're doing for esports. And I know it's kind of scattered around right now, but tying it to Sacramento and hopefully sometime creating opportunities for a very thriving game community. We got people who support the show, Capital Fight District, who puts on big Street Fighter tournaments, Smash tournaments once a month. And out of the goodness of his heart, man loses money on it every week, but he does it because he loves it. This show doesn't make money, not for profit. We do it just because we love it, and it's so awesome to see that after all these years, the culture changing and esports becoming a real life tangible thing, especially tying it to Sacramento. So thank you for that.
That's awesome. It's legit. You know, this time next year, I think things will be much clearer and easier. I think it's a really exciting space, and you guys are right in the middle of it. Actually, outside of just, you know, hoping everybody in Sacramento will whatever check out Energy or follow us on Twitter, but we're actually looking for, we're going to crowdsource it, but we're looking for someone to run our social media. So if any of your listeners who are gamers who know the space and want to get involved with us, they can just reach out. They can reach out to me on Twitter or whatever, and just say, mention social media if they want to run our platform or something. Be happy to talk to anybody.
Hold on, I'm going to write down your information right there so I can apply. All right, cool. All right, we're good. And I muted that so chat didn't hear that. So chat, because now everyone said, I'm available. Oh my God, I can't wait. So,
on the lowdown.
Yeah, I think you just set my chat on fire with that one. So expect some a little bit of noise on the social media. Let's move on to some news stories. The first one we got here, Webb, go ahead and take us out of this world with your first story.
So No Man's Sky has officially been released, and
wait a minute, is that why you said that transition?
Yeah, did you see
that's
that?
Horrible.
Did you like
continue,
what I...
Webb, please?
Yeah, so No Man's Sky is out, and one of the things that the developer had said from the very beginning is that DLC is going to be free.
Nice.
It's, you're not going to pay for it. All DLC is going to be free.
I'm hearing a butt going.
Well, not so much anymore. they're definitely going to have some updates moving forward, but Sean Murray is now looking at it as it might have been a little naive to say that everything's going to be free.
Well, that was a indie game developer with bright eyes, you know,
yeah,
going into it saying, hey, yeah,
I'm gonna fight the man.
This.
I'm gonna do everything for free.
And then the man bought him and said, no,
yeah,
we're gonna charge. And I mean, he's gotta go with it. He's gotta go with it. Have they even hinted what the first coming DLC is gonna be?
They haven't. They did say that there are gonna be some updates that are gonna make players very happy.
Oh yeah.
Team stuff would be great.
Thank
but,
you.
Right.
Team
ups. But they're they're focusing on some of the more critical things that need to be fixed.
So they're fixing
right
bugs first.
They're fixing bugs
as they should.
As they should.
And then they're gonna give us multi-man ships.
I hope. Okay. Ships are big enough.
No,
I feel like you guys are asking so much of this game that's already revolutionizing stuff.
Jessica,
you're like, I want this.
The nail on the head.
Really?
Jessica just really hit the nail on the head because this is what I've been reading a lot of reviews, and it's kind of really got me upset at this point. I'm getting mad because people are trashing the game for it not living up to their expectations of what they created.
Like, I want you to develop a game right now. Do it. Go.
Yeah. Sean Murray was very forthcoming with what this game was going to be, it was going to include. And everyone else was starting to think, oh, well, I want to meet my friends. I want to do this. And he said flat out, that's not what this game's about. This game's about exploration, a massive galaxy that's beyond your imagination.
But all the reviews, have you ever read them saying, I don't like this game because I can't meet up with other people?
There's a litany.
Because I've read a lot of reviews too. I was very interested in the reviews of this game, and they've been all over the place. But I've never seen one that said,
I think it's being held to standards that Sean Murray didn't set.
Yeah, but there's never been one that said, I don't like it because of, you know, I wanted this to be in there, I wanted that to be in there. It's all because of features that are in there, and they're just not having fun with. Any positive one have been from those people that really like that explorer aspect of the game, where I can find new things on every different planet no matter what, and I'm awed by it. I don't need the actual different gameplay on each planet. You know, I can do the same Minecraft thing on a different
biome. And that's where we get to, like, different styles of gamers, too. Yeah. Like, this is not geared to every single gamer out there. It's geared to people who play in a certain way.
I think right in the middle is the perfect
score. It's something that I feel right like now. I'll go to and then play my regular games and then go back to. And, like, I'm not going to sit there and play it, you know, for months and months and months. I might play it here and there because it's, you know.
This game will live and die by the future updates, just like Minecraft Vanilla. Yes. You know, it came out one way and it evolved into another beast. Now, this game doesn't really lend itself to esports, Andy, but still, if you're interested in a professional No Man's Sky player, I'm available.
Your guy. All right. It's a cool game. The streaming has been crazy the first couple of weeks. It was in really big numbers for people on Twitch.
Yeah, it's pretty insane, but I found it hard to stream. Because I want to, like, immerse myself into the game, and I feel like when you
stream, it's not a very social game.
It's not.
No, it's
not. And on Twitch, you have to, there's, like, this era of entertainment. Like, you can be really good and get a lot of streamers, or you can be really entertaining. I am not very good at a lot of video games.
Or entertaining.
Nor am I very entertaining, so I struggle. Andy, what do you think of, like, what they set to accomplish, though, with the procedurally generated galaxy that has quintillion planets and all that? What's to be said for, like, their innovation?
I think it's ambitious. I love it. I'm just, you know, they kind of did what they said they were going to do, and just anybody doing something different is really interesting. It just well executed, looking at, like, the Pokemon stuff as well. Like, it's not like anything there is massively new, but it was so well done, and people just gravitate to things like that. Question is, how long do they last?
I was going to ask you, that's a good idea, bringing up the Pokemon Go. Like, as a business guy, is it ridiculous just to see how crazy Pokemon Go is? Like, if you go to old Sacramento, it's a madhouse.
Zombies everywhere.
It's amazing. It's the number one fastest download, like, you know, in Apple history. And it's mind-blowing. I thought that was so well done. I've sort of seen that overlay type of technology before, and they just put it all together and executed it really well. That's unbelievably impressive.
Next story. Cheers, love. Such potential. What's the next story, David Webb?
We're gonna chuck that one up to not working either.
Yeah, just make a list.
So Overwatch second season competitive is starting soon, September, and there's gonna be some changes. They're doing away with the 1-100 skill rating. It's going to be 1-5,000.
Whoa. Stepping it up.
Let's slow down here.
And it's going to have a series of tiers.
Wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. Because I'm like 45 in my level. So what does that mean for me? Like,
that means you're a noob.
Like, is it impossible for me to hit this 5,000 mark? Like, I don't understand.
They're multiplying everything by
100?
1,000.
Oh, 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't jump up level.
Not 1,000.
One, level 100. One, level two. I don't jump up like that.
No.
Did you say it's 5,000?
In increments.
Yeah, 5,000. Yeah.
Want to be 500?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it says 5,000 in the.
That's going up to.
No, no, okay. But you said it jumps up in increments of 1,000.
I swear we're not. I swear we're not that stupid, Andy. I swear he's probably threw his computer out the window.
By now. Well, here's a question, Andy. Then, I mean, with changes like this, how does that affect esports? Because
I think that's an important one.
Yeah.
Like the 1 to 100 is nuts. Like I don't know enough about it to be intelligent, but it won't stop me from commenting. Like, Siegel is the most ridiculous player in the world, and I think he's an 80. So I don't know how the whole ranking and he doesn't he plays in scrims and it doesn't count and whatever in professionally, but it's too small. Like it needs to be spread out. I think the numbers need to go higher so you can kind of separate the talent there.
It's true. The player base is so massive that throwing that many people into a 1 in 100 does seem kind of strange. Yeah. And maybe it'll allow for more movement, I think, too. Because right now it's so frustrating to grind in between 35 and 36, you know, over and over again.
Right. Well, that was the thing that they were talking about, was that it's too frustrating because you only move like a fraction at a time. And so this is going to avoid that. Plus, they're going to introduce bronze, silver, gold, and diamond tiers, and you only lose rank once you get to the master and grandmaster tiers.
Oh, so you won't even lose rank.
You won't even lose rank until you get
to them. Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah. I'm all down for that upgrade. I mean, it's so deflating whenever you play a game and then you lose a match and then you see that bar just shrink down and you're like, I just lost a level.
It makes you not want to queue with the general population. You only want to queue with people you know, because then you can communicate with each other easily and you know how each other plays. And to go back and correct myself, it's multiplying by a factor of 10. There, so you'll be 450.
Thank you.
That makes way more 450 sense.
450, I am. And that makes me sound amazing that I'm 450. That's
out of 5,000.
Out of 5,000, yeah. Right?
Let's see. Put a smile on our face with the next story, David Webb.
So, we're going to touch on Suicide Squad.
Are we?
Mixed bag of
I know we
reviews.
Told you it was a video game podcast, but we find ourselves ranting about comics and movies all the time. Did you see the Suicide Squad, and what did you think, Andy?
I did not see it, but
good man.
A lot of people I know saw it, and they all thought it was horrible. And then, like, horrible. Like I
Was this Shaq?
what did he say earlier? Great minds? Yeah.
Like horrible, like I want those 2 hours back. But then I go read, it was the highest grossing opening week in August history.
Good trailers.
I think it's a movie for the fans too. A lot of fans are like, you know, like, because me as a fan, I went in looking for select things, not an awesome movie in general.
Right.
So I got those things that I wanted. Not a good movie overall.
Aaron went in thinking it was an animated movie, and he wanted his free ticket money back.
No, I went in thinking it was going to be like Reservoir Dogs. That's what I got on his truth.
Way too much.
I did,
friend.
And I, it's partial. It's definitely partial on my
90%. I would say.
No, no, I wouldn't give. I'd give myself 450 out of 5,000. But it's more on them. If they had approached it like it was, you know, an R-rated movie like they did with Deadpool and said, hey, we're doing Reservoir Dog style, you know, a group of miscreants and they're all not going to make it through the end type of deal, you know, then boom. I'm like, yeah, I'm in it.
DC got scared. They got scared when Superman, Batman got harsh reviews for being too dark. And I think Suicide Squad is one of those movies that has to be dark.
Yeah. It's like
it needed more grit.
It needed more dark.
You can't say Suicide Squad starring the Brady Bunch. Like it makes no
just
sense.
The name is dark.
Yeah. You can, but I wouldn't recommend it. So what do we think? Jared Leto thinks he got tricked?
Yeah, so Aaron's not the only one that's disappointed in the movie. Jared Leto, the Joker, feels like he got tricked. He thought it was going to be more of an artistic production. And is overwhelmed by all the hate regarding the look and the choices.
I love that Jared Leto.
They cut so much of his material out.
I heard they did. Yeah.
He actually said that. He said he's disappointed because he shot enough. The actor says that he shot enough for a full Joker movie. And the minimum, I mean,
Yeah, if you look at the list of scenes they deleted, it was a crucial part of the movie, of Joker's personality, of like Harley Quinn and Joker's relationship. Like, I loved seeing it in the film, but it was so like
watered down.
Yeah, it was not what their relationship should be. Like, people are like, they're so sweet. You shouldn't think that about the Joker and Harley.
Yeah,
and I think they wanted to play that. I think they didn't want to show that other.
Yeah, and I think that Jared Leto was probably expecting it to be more dark and twisted, and to be able to, you know, put himself, like, they are judging his Joker on a tiny, tiny snippet of a movie, which is so unfortunate for him because he's an amazing actor.
Well, he's going up against Heath Ledger, who had a whole movie. Yeah.
Well, they all go against Luke Skywalker, so that's...
Who had decades of...
Yeah, and he's the man.
And even, like, Jack Nicholson, you know, the OG film Joker. And it's hard to put him up there, especially when they're trying such a drastic change already with his look. Yeah. You know, to then rob him of his performance is really, you know, shady. I want to see more of him.
Watch it on the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray will come out. And
I hope he doesn't like say, "Screw my contract, I'm not doing anymore."
Well, he is disappointed that he is disappointed that his contract prohibits him from doing things like rock climbing. And what? Yeah, because he's Warner Brothers doesn't want him to get hurt because the Joker, you know, he's a pristine person.
You're saying the Joker can't be a paraplegic?
No, he can't.
Wait, so, how is Joker a pristine person when they put a bunch of tattoos on him?
Sarcasm.
Oh, Andy, okay. is there a stipulation in your esport players' contracts where they can't do risky things with their thumbs or fingers?
Air hockey.
There should be. That's pretty funny.
He's writing that down now.
I put that in there. I can tell you with the Kings, we took away the, what were those called? You know,
the hoverboards?
The hoverboards. Oh. Everybody had one. Everyone had it taken away except for Rondo, who was like a master at it. They were like, you're going to kill yourself.
Didn't they like spontaneously combust at points too? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, I used to see that on the Kings Instagram. I'd see the players like coming up for a game and some of them would have like the hoverboards and they're rolling up from their car.
Yeah, it didn't last long.
Let's see. We had another good question in chat, and I did not want to skip this one out. It says, is NRG going to give LCS another shot?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. You guys let me off early. easy. We would love to, so we got to figure it out. So we were in it for two splits. We came in, I think, fifth in the first split. And the second split, we were about eighth the whole time until the end. We dropped to ninth, and then we were in the relegation tournament and just absolutely just imploded. And so we got relegated, which means we have a spot in the Challenger League, and so there are five teams in that. And we'll probably do it, but we need to see what Riot does with the whole space. So, I mean, not to get it going a rant, but the idea of Challenger League was to have – you know, the five guys in Sacramento who put together a team to make its way up to the big leagues. And it was a place for people to dream about competing at a high level. And it didn't, it got completely, completely turned upside down. So the teams that made it were the B team for Cloud9, professional team, top, you know, maybe number one team, we'll see. The B team for, I think it was Liquid. It just made no sense. And those B team players were almost all former players from last split who were amazing, you know, professionals who were basically prospecting to win a spot and then sell it. And it just didn't, the whole meaning was gone. So unless this thing changes, I don't know if we want to be a part of it.
So you said the team imploded. Was it just kind of a breakdown of just the team's chemistry wasn't off? Because once you get to that high of level, what really dictates the win-loss?
They never clicked. At first, we thought a lot of it was language. We brought in a really great player from Korea named OQ and OHQ, and OQ did not speak much English. So they had trouble communicating. But I think we got to the point where he was really productive. I don't know what happened. We played very well the last few weeks. We played tough teams. We ended up in the playoffs looking ready to go. We scrimmed all week. We brought in a sports psychologist. The guys were good. And when they got up there, they just they just pooped themselves. I mean, we didn't win one game. I think they shut down some of the other guys on the team who were a little older, were afraid to lose, and because they thought probably it was their last chance. So they weren't making the calls, they weren't making the plays, and they were late on everything.
Here's a question kind of out of left field, just because we've talked about it in the past, and I want to get your take. Performance-enhancing drugs in esports, it looks like that's a thing. Like, people are actually taking certain prescriptions to help them focus.
Ritalin, right? Was it Ritalin or Adderall?
I think it was one of those.
Is
there, like, strict testing, or should there be? Is there a call for more testing?
There will be. I'm sure there is, like, in everything, and I'm sure you name what the activity is when you get people this age and this competitive. I was in and out of the house all the time. We never saw anything. Maybe we should have given it to our guys so they could compete. Clearly, we're drug free. It'll be in there. Like, there'll be a union for players, and there should be, which would be great for the owners, because then we could have a collective bargaining agreement and all be on the same page as to what people make and how they get paid and where they get health insurance. And as part of it, I wouldn't be surprised if they ask for some type of drug testing, which there should be, because you really need a healthy environment. Like, the Sacramento Kings, an NBA team, when we bought the Kings, we talked to David Stern, the then amazing commissioner, and we said, hey, we're a new ownership group. How do you build a championship team? And he said, you know where championship teams are built? And we all leaned in and we're like, yeah. He's like, on the bus. Meaning,
wow.
It was all about chemistry and coming together and playing as a unit and trusting each other and loving each other. And to do that in the NBA is grueling. Like, there's 10, 11 guys, they travel everywhere. It's not like they go for baseball and they travel to Cleveland and they stay there for 4 nights in their own hotel rooms doing their own things. They're on the plane, they go to Boston, they're done. They go to Washington, they're done. They fly back here, they practice all day long. Same 10 guys, right? Yeah. Like, it's not 30 guys on a football team or whatever the number is. So you got to really have that sort of camaraderie. And in esports, they're living in a house. They're together in these upper echelon games. They're away from home for the first time. They're 18 years old. They've never even been on a team before, let alone, you know, a professional team in a house 24 hours a day that's on, you know, streaming. It's intense.
Wow. And I think he brings up a good point. You know, the team, championship teams, championship podcasts need to be made on the bus, Aaron. So we need to hang out. We need to return my phone calls. We should go get lunch sometime.
Not happening.
I tried. We've been working together for 3 years. I can't even get a high five from this guy.
I've gotten dozens.
I got one.
You guys aren't making me feel any better.
Rub it all in his face, everybody.
We weren't really trying. We were just stating
I kind of tricked him into high-fiving me, though.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I agreed with him on purpose for something and then high-fived
him.
That's how he works. Well, Andy, thank you so much for your time. Before we let you go, please let us know where we can go pick up and learn all the information about Energy Sports and where I can get my Energy official jerseys.
Yeah. Energy.gg is our website, and at EnergyGG is Twitter. And you can even put your name on the back. Maybe if you get one for Aaron with his name on the back, he'll give you a high five.
Aaron, all right. Look at that.
Wow.
So you're saying I need to buy his love.
Usually the way it works.
The one thing I didn't try.
That's where teams are made, right?
Through the money.
I'm going to post that link into chat. So if you're listening to this, support Sacramento Esports and pick up some energy. I know I'm going to go to the store immediately after this taping. I'm going to give you a hat. You give me a jersey, and that's our team now. This is our home team.
Awesome. Yeah. If I see anybody at the Kings game wearing the energy gear, that would be amazing.
If you're in Sacramento watching this, which a lot of our people is, the local Sacramento PC gaming group, you know, they were really excited that you were on the show. They actually created a Facebook event out of it, and we're promoting it. So thank you guys for the Sacramento PC gaming group who showed up for doing the right thing, supporting Sacramento, and that's our home team, man. So we got to support it. So. Andy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Anytime. Great to meet you.
So, I mean, it's awesome. Everything that's going to happen with NRG and everything like that, energy,
whatever. Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Is it energy or NRG?
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, whatever.
You should have asked.
I should have, damn it.
But I do want to see one governing body, like, you know, FIBA for basketball, FIFA for soccer, you know.
Oh yeah, it'd be nice to have a home team too. Like if this, like I really want them just to commit to Sacramento. Just say, all right, players, move up to Sacramento. The city, it's not like we're. They can fly. They're making enough money. Do you know how much
home court advantage? Like home court advantage. Yeah, home court advantage. Yeah. With every sport. Yeah.
Every sport.
Every sport is big. Volleyball.
But golf. You know how you make esports successful?
How do you do that?
By going to the events.
So this is what I was saying. This is what I was saying too with that point. If I can see the events being big because I know people go there.
Yeah.
But when it goes back to that thing of the governing body and we have like an actual season ticket holder type of deal, that's where I want to see. What keeps me keep going? You know, what makes me become a season ticket holder as opposed to this event happens once a month. Then that's the draw because it's rare, you know.
It's a rare Pokemon.
Exactly.
It's
a
shiny.
I'm going there this month, you know. We're going to have
an event.
There
are shiny Pokemons there.
I was going to even ask more questions too, but you know, you cut me off during the interview.
I'm sorry, man.
I was going to be like, so when I go to these events, because I don't like baseball. I'm not a big baseball fan, but I'll go to a River Cats game. Because it's like it's an
fun.
Event. Yeah. You're singing songs with the people.
I won't watch
it
on TV.
Yeah. So I'll go to it. So that's what I was going to ask, you know, what type of stuff is going to draw me in there? What's going to bring it? Are we going to do some, you know,
t-shirt cannons?
The Wave?
He's right
you
there.
You got another
13.
One?
13.
You should have heard. I mean, the synchronicity of that.
How do you get another high five?
T-shirt cannons.
All right. I'm buying you any jersey. I'm buying you an esports jersey.
Terrible.
I'm going to make your car payment for a month.
Add all to shopping cart.
I want a high five. All right. Well, we'll get him back. That was the beginning of a beautiful relationship with Energy.
Great. Absolutely.
Esports team. He was awesome. I think he had a good time. Thank you to the chat, Sacramento PC group, all the usuals, the people who came in out of nowhere. Really appreciate it. But we have a brand new segment to the show.
A brand new segment.
As you noted, we have a brand new host. Her name is Jessica, the Maid of Might.
Bum, bum, bum.
And...
You
we keep
Dell.
No, it's supposed to be more ominous, but I'm so excited it came out way Del happy. It's supposed to be like bum bum boom. Better.
It was just a dramatic Dell thing. A
couple of more bums.
Oh,
would have been
I'm
farmers.
Just so excited. Everything Del turns out happy.
Well, we tell everyone all the time, like, you are the comic book fanatic, and this is where it's time for you to put your money where your mouth is. This is Jessica's Wednesday Comic Corner show, which we name is patent pending. We're still coming up with it.
Yeah, still trying to figure out the name. So if you have any suggestions, let me know.
Wednesday is all you guys know is Comic Book Day.
Comic Book Wednesday. Every week, new comics come out. Yep. And it's been a glorious, glorious couple months for comics, especially with DC's Rebirth. I have so many people that are like, you know what? I really wanted to get into comics, but I don't know how to jump in. And Rebirth is the perfect time to start reading. You have all sorts of number ones. I think that most comic books aren't even, like, I think Batman's at number 5 released today. So it's really easy to catch up. And you can find probably most of them at your local comic book store. But I want to talk about a couple of them today that released. We had Batman, Nightwing, Harley Quinn. There were some great Marvel titles, but really, I'm super excited.
Oh man, here we go.
About Supergirl! Yes! Supergirl Rebirth came out today. I don't know if you can tell if I'm a Supergirl fan, but my name is Maid of Might. And this story is taking her back to sort of her original roots a little bit. You know, she crash landed and now she's on Earth, and she's got some adoptive parents that are taking care of her. She's got her secret identity back, and because Superman is dead in the Rebirth universe.
Spoilers.
In the Rebirth universe that's been out for a while, so you should have read it by now. Spoilers. She's trying to like take up his mantle, and she's trying to earn the people's trust, and we get to see a Kryptonian villain this first issue and get a little bit of taste of where her storyline is kind of going to go into.
So they fixed some of the stuff you were upset about with the Red
They fixed
Lantern.
Her personality a lot. I love her personality. They fixed her outfit. Her outfit she's got, it's much more reminiscent of a classic Supergirl and even has some nods to the show, I want to say. The show probably influenced it a lot. So we have a better outfit, and I just love it. She's really back to the classic Supergirl roots. I don't know if you guys can see it on the video. They even put her logo back to, like, the real classic Supergirl. She still has an S that's reminiscent of the New 52, but I think
it's not an S. It's a hope symbol.
Anyways, the House of El Sigil. So they're kind of blending a lot of the universes together, and I'm excited for where this is headed. So this is just Rebirth number one, and her actual storyline should be starting soon.
And so is this a buy for everyone, everyone across the board?
Yes.
It's just Supergirl fans, or what?
You know, Supergirl is great because she's got all Superman's powers plus some. Like, she is actually proven to be more powerful than Superman. So it's good. It's got the action for the men folk, and then girl power, of course, for us ladies. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's
that.
Why I never understood. They always put the debate of, you know, Superman is the strongest one, but I'm like, they've been
It's been proven
so many times
over and over again that Supergirl, because she came, I think that because she came to the planet, you know, already a 16-year-old instead of a baby, she was already more powerful.
And she circled around the sun.
She's speed him in races. Yeah. She's stronger.
She got, like, supercharged.
The only thing that, you know, limits her power a little bit is, you know, her naivete. She doesn't actually know what she's doing yet. Oh, my God. Get out. Oh,
I'm sorry.
No. The fact that she's still trying to find her place in the world. And
Kryptonian chocolate.
That makes sense. In Rebirth, she seems to be a lot more, like, solid. She got her powers back. And she's a lot more solid. She's got a direction now, and I'm excited to see where that's
headed. She seems more confident.
That's
she's
it,
missing
yeah.
a ring, but it's cool, you know.
Aaron's a big fan of the New 52.
I'm not a huge Red Lantern Supergirl fan. She should not have been this angry entity, in my opinion. Like, I like the Supergirl full of hope. And
she was full of hope.
Speaking of, I'll give you guys here a little insight to my next couple cosplays. I'm debuting one very soon, a Blue Lantern Supergirl that I designed myself.
Wow.
Yeah, so
very cool.
I am extra pushing that hope in there by doing me a Blue Lantern Supergirl.
Shoehorn.
So about November.
Is that going to be a couples thing going on? Because
actually,
I noticed the blue something.
We have an entire group scheduled for Kamikaze. Lots of characters from Marvel to DC, all getting a little bit of a Blue Lantern makeover. Nice. So
that's
I'm
awesome.
Real excited. And
that's
of course
cool.
I had to do Supergirl. So she is going to have a little more of the New 52 design, because I did design her back when New 52 was the current Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to take a hope. Hopeful, not angry.
They're not my favorite Lanterns, if that's what you're saying. I just liked when she was in Lantern.
What else we got?
All right. So keeping on the Suicide Squad train, Suicide Squad number one came out. This is different than the Rebirth book, but it is Suicide Squad. We have a really cool cover by Jim Lee, and there's actually two stories in this book. There's the first Jim Lee story, which is Suicide Squad proper, where we get to see, like, the characters in the team, and we get, like, a little taste of their first mission. And it's already more gritty than the movie. It actually has the same team as the movie, except for Enchantress is part of the team now. So she's
as
in
she
team.
Probably should have been.
She should have been.
She was.
I never ever pegged her for the villain.
She was,
She should not have been the villain.
In the comics.
Within the comic book, Enchantress is now part of the team. She and Rick Flag don't have a romance. It's actually a really good storyline so far. And then the second story, both of them are written by Rob Williams, but only the first one was done by Jim Lee. The second story is more of like Deadshot's origin. Like, you get a little more taste for him and seeing his sort of origin, which actually was really interesting. It actually includes a team up with Batman, which I saw really nice. I liked it. It was very different from the movie, and I kind of liked how they teamed up and what actually put him in jail. I really did like seeing
so that. So, just immediate thoughts. The first book here, how does it stack up to the first 20 minutes of the Suicide Squad movie?
So far, you know, the characters, what I loved about Suicide Squad the movie was the characters. I loved seeing them each played out. And the first issue of the book, because we're trying to put two storylines in one book, it wasn't very long, so you don't get a huge taste of the characters, but already they have more Killer Croc. You know, they have a little bit more of each of the minor characters. And actually, Harley Quinn is really cute. There's a nod to Pokemon Go in it, too.
Holy crap. What'd
where
they do?
They're, like, on their way to the mission. They're in a space shuttle. And she's like, oh, my gosh, there's a Poke Cutie nearby. She has her phone out. So far, it's going to have a little bit of that humor. And it's already got some more grit. Already something that happens in the book made me go, ew, that's disgusting. So,
and that's how Suicide Squad...
That's how Suicide Squad should be. It should be gritty and disgusting, and I'm real excited for the comic, so keep a lookout for that one.
All right, I like that. And what else we got?
And then the next one I want to talk about is really exciting. I got to see this writer at Comic-Con speak about this book. It's called Briggsland. I don't know if you can see that.
Okay, strong, independent woman on the cover. Here, let me go to Jessica Cam so they can see it.
Kind of looks like a River Song from Doctor Who.
Well, she is an older lady. She is the matriarch. This is Grace, by the way, on the cover. She's the matriarch of the Briggs family. And it's essentially a story about a family that lives outside the government. They have their own property. They kind of develop their own community on their property.
I've seen this on History Channel. Yeah, those backwater people who like live in Alaska.
Yeah,
seen that? Okay.
I can't stop watching.
I don't think it's in Alaska though. I think it's I think it's more towards the South or Midwest. And
totally believable.
So the patriarch is in jail and decides to make a deal with the government to sell their land to the government to kind of like integrate the people back into the government. Hmm. And the matriarch steps back and says, "No, like this is not how we run things. I want to preserve exactly what we stand for here." And it's about the repercussions. Like already, like the first issue, she says, "Sorry about it, you're not part of this, I'm taking over," and you already see repercussions. Like literally when the comic book ended after the last couple panels, I was like, holy shit. I can't believe that just happened. Like it's really good already, and that's hard to do in one book. It's hard to do in like 30 pages or however long this is. The artwork is great, the story's good, and the kicker is that Brian Wood announced at Comic-Con that even before this became a comic book, before it was published at all, AMC has already signed it to be a TV show.
Wow.
So this That's is awesome. One to look out for. Definitely grab number one if you can. It just came out today, so hopefully the retailers still have some.
So, like, just as perspective, because I don't know much about, you know, the comic book collecting scene. So, like, if I had original run of Walking Dead episode number one.
You'd be in good shape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's worth a lot of money. The first, like, 100. Probably not 100, actually. The first probably, like, 20.
Really?
Worth a lot, yeah.
That's good to know. I think I'm going to go make an investment by stopping by.
Yeah, you should. I mean, anything that is speculated to be a TV show or a movie is going to do well. Like Preacher. Preacher is now a TV show. I have number one and actually all the ongoing of Outcast, which just was a show. Haven't watched the show yet, but I've heard it's really good. The Strain was a comic book.
I just can't take that name seriously.
The Strain. It's actually a really good storyline, and I have number one.
It can be. I'm sure it's great, but when I just hear The Strain, I just think of pooping. That's where
you can just say that.
Read the comic as you're pooping.
You could, yeah. In the bathroom if you wanted to.
What about Stranger Things? Was that
Stranger
a comic?
Things was not a comic book,
because it kind of lends itself
It does. It was
to
really
being
good.
A comic. I wouldn't be surprised if they came out with one.
Yeah, and they could. And it's really different to see the things that are comics first go into production for the big screen, or things that already exist on the big screen go into comic books.
Yeah.
Because it tends to be, if it's already been something on like TV show or a movie, then the comic book is going to be exactly the TV show or movie.
Right.
Whereas normally when it comes from a comic book first and goes into that, then it's the comic book tends to be a little more like gritty and realistic, and then they change things to put it up on the screen.
Gotcha. Yeah, it makes sense.
So it really just, if it comes into a comic book, probably just watch the movie or TV show.
And last one on your docket.
Last one. Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. That one came out. I'm really excited about this one because it is a team that has been around for a long time, Birds of Prey, and it's, you know, changed rosters. And I'm really excited for this one. I read it and was like, yes, girl power. This is great. And Huntress is one of my favorite DC females. And she is a kick-ass mob boss's daughter. And she is out for revenge in this. So I really liked seeing her.
We see a little Batman-Batgirl hookup in this one.
No.
Issue number one.
Issue two.
Had to bring that back.
Issue two.
It's going to be issue two.
Go check out our Facebook page, people, because Facebook.com/videogamebangbang. We posted a picture. It was hilarious. It had me rolling. It was one of those. It's like in the border of Pornhub, and it said 45-year-old man has sex with his best friend's 19-year-old daughter. And in the frame was that scene. from Batman, The Killing Joke.
Just because, like, I could see I'm her, like no. tensing. No. Like.
Especially because the Batgirl that we see, like, the Batgirl from Burnside, which is mm-hmm. the same one in this book, she's much more juvenile.
This know? One, yes.
She's real funny. Now, if you saw she's this quirky. One. Like, at one point, they're, like, staking out bad guys, and her cell phone rings, and she's like, sorry about it. You know, she's yeah, much more funny.
This one is different. Yeah. I didn't feel like this was the one in The Killing
no,
Joke.
No, I would hope not. She's, because she's that's definitely a teenager, more of like. A nod to like Batman All-Star Batgirl, which is one of my favorites. Which actually, Batman All-Star was just brought back too in DC Rebirth, so we're going to see that.
Yeah, there are a lot of different Batmans brought back for
Yeah,
Rebirth.
Well, Batman is always the DC book that has the most titles.
Makes sense.
Whether it be Batman, Batgirl, Detective Comics, Gotham Academy, like there's so much in Batman's world that right. is always out there. And then you always have a spin-off series like The Dark Knight Returns 3 is mm-hmm. out right now. Batman All-Stars coming back, which I'm still disappointed that they never finished the original Batman All-Star, which was, I want to say, Jim Lee and Frank Miller's Batman. Okay. And it was really good.
I'm loving chat. Ceramic Dragon long time says, this white girl knows her comics.
Hell yeah.
That's what I said. She said, hell yeah, she does.
Oh, damn.
Someone's asking, have you read Five Ghosts?
Five Ghosts? I have not. I own the first, like, five, I want to say. five Ghosts. But I'm the kind of person where I like to collect. If it's not, like, a mainstream comic, I will collect a bunch of them and then read them as a giant arc. Like, I just did that with The Descenders. It was really good. I did that with Chrononauts. I collected them all before I read them. So that's one, if you recommend it, maybe I'll go back and read them because I do have them in my collection.
That's like a crazy risk of investment. Like you're paying all this money. What if it's yeah. just trash?
Well,
like
I tend
through?
To, my rule of thumb is get the first one. Read the first one and see if you like the feel and if you like where it's going. And then by the first issue, I will decide, do I want to continue and collect them all or not? I haven't really read a comic book series that I don't necessarily like. And I like them all for different reasons. Some of them I really enjoy the artwork and I love looking at it from an artistic point of view. Some of them I really love the storyline or a character. So it's different, you know.
All right. And that was Jessica's Wednesday Comic Book Corner.
Wow. Still working on the name.
Aaron, now you are like a wiki comic book reader. Does this entice you to maybe one day go to a comic book shop and actually purchase a comic?
No, I can't sit and start that habit up.
What it about, is a commitment.
Yeah, and it is. I can't do that thing. And
like
then,
space-wise, I yes. gotta say, I have like 80 boxes of comic books in multiple rooms of the house because I can't find a space to put them all. Money wise, they go to like $2.99 to $3.99 a pop.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do though when Oblivion opens up?
And variant covers. Don't get me started on variant covers.
Yeah, I don't collect anything like that.
But Aaron, when Oblivion opens, what are you gonna do, man?
I'm gonna
can't
go
just
in
go there
and
enjoy
and,
the coffee.
And why not?
He's like, I'm gonna buy graphic novels there. That's trade like, paperback.
That's like going to Bed Bath and Beyond and only limiting yourself to the Beyond section.
Oh yeah, that's the best part. Best part.
All those gadgets yeah. and assing on TV section? Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Oh, man. What a great show.
That was a good show.
Oh, man. We did go 10 minutes over because we had a guest. And
yeah,
that was a big time guest. And man, I feel really good after that interview because I was kind of nervous about it because I don't know. I didn't want to be disappointed.
You wanted to be him?
No.
It's quite all right.
Can I get a high five for that one?
We'll think about it.
Oh, nice.
Now she's
rejection.
Trying.
Denied.
I'm glad you tried because I was about to.
Yes.
And then I was like,
but you hear how that wasn't as crispy?
That's because we're too far away.
Yeah, we're too
I'm
far away.
Right
that was awkward.
Ah,
okay.
Prove me wrong. Prove that yours are better.
I don't have to. I just know.
Pulling those mind games. Reverse psychology.
So, Video Game Bang and Jessica will be at Stockton Con this weekend. Jessica will be there in a booth. Do you know which booth it is
yes,
yet?
Yes, I will be at Table 8 in the Fashion Alley, which is upstairs.
Wow.
So come see me, my little maid of might table and it's signage.
Double decker place. There's two floors.
Yeah, it's a stadium. It's arena. So it has like the upper level and then the lower.
This will be our first Stockton Con.
Yeah, it's a pretty good venue, and there are a lot of great cosplayers that are going to be there as well as vendors.
Shout them out. Who we got?
Pandora Lee Grayson, one of my faves. Jacqueline Goner. She is.
Oh, we met her.
She's famous for her Witchblade and her Zelda, Legend of Zelda.
Very famous for that Witchblade.
Yep. We got that some Vampirella.
There it is.
Yeah, now he knows.
Now I know.
Yeah, we met her. She was in one of our videos. Amazing. Fantastic. Yeah. Great to work with. Loved it.
Yes. Yeah, so there are a lot of great local cosplayers. Come by and see. I know last year I ended up walking away from the convention with like this man's entire run of the Tomb Raider comics because I was like, all right, how much for all of them?
Wow.
He gave me a good number, and now I have an entire box of Tomb Raider.
And the last thing for you to promote too, you just started a Patreon.
I did. I'm on Patreon now. Woo!
I'm glad you heeded my advice. Get that money, girl. If you guys want to help support Jessica the Maid of Might in her cosplay and her videos and getting from here to there, you know, she's big cosplayer, but still, stuff ain't free. She pays a lot of money out of pocket, and this is a way you can help her take some of that burden off and take her career to the next level, which she's getting very, very close to. We feel it. She's a rising star in our community, and doing these shows, come out and see her, say hi, get an autographed photo. Video Game Bang will be there on Saturday. Aaron Carter, myself, Webb, and Steven will be rocking the place, and we'll be bugging her at her booth a lot.
Yes, so come bug me.
I'm not lonely. Mess with us. So do whatever you want. We'll take your picture. We'll take pictures with you.
We'll take your picture.
Because I know that's what's going to end up happening. We're going to be like there, and they're going to be like, oh, Video Game Bank. Cool. Can you take my picture for me and Jessica? So we're completely mentally prepared for that. Aaron, are you going to wear your Eddie Murphy shirt?
I'd probably wear the Dark Knight Black Panther shirt.
All right. I like it. You get a little insight into what he's wearing.
I'm going to cosplay.
You're going to cosplay?
I'm going to cosplay.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to cosplay as the person who wants to live. I bought a really good Kevlar jacket.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
And
that's what they aim at. Helmet. Remember, you guys
Stockton
are you're going
for
to
cosplay.
You're going to my birthtown, baby.
For Stockton.
You're going to my hometown.
The 209. Don't be scared, homie.
It's a good location, I promise.
All right. Well, thank you for helping out with the show. Big thank you to Andrew Miller. As for David Webb, Aaron Carter, Jessica the Maid of Might, my name is Corey Vincent, and you've just been banged.